Welcome to Festival Nation on the Pantheon Podcast Network. Here's your host, Marla Davies.
Hey now, it's Marla Davies, your host of Festival Nation, the podcast, where we celebrate the magical world of music festivals from the good old days through today and even tomorrow. Festival Nation, here on the Pantheon Podcast Network, is featuring a special mini-series on Skull and Roses, and we'll be dedicating a series of shows featuring the musicians playing at the festival. Skull and Roses is a multi-day festival celebrating the music and community of the Grateful Dead. Skull and Roses returns April 2nd through the 5th for its fourth anniversary at the legendary Ventura County Fairgrounds on the Central California coast. On today's show, we welcome Graham Lesh, singer and guitarist for Midnight North. Graham also plays in the Terrapin Family Band and Phil and Friends with his dad, Grateful Dead bassist Phil Lesh. On today's show, you'll hear how Graham's journey took him from Stanford to the high-tech world to creating his own band, Midnight North. And of course, he confirms he's a deadhead. But sometimes fandom can be kind of strange.
I can play basically every Grateful Dead song that ever happened on guitar. Yeah. And
that's pretty good.
And obviously I've been to more shows than most people, even though a lot of them were first sets, but there's a holding everyone on a pedestal aspect of things that I don't really subscribe to.
On Saturday, January 18th, 2020, Midnight North performed at Terrapin Crossroads in San Rafael. Terrapin Crossroads was established by Phil Lesh, and the venue was created to offer live music every day of the week with different stages. Let's just say the place is hopping. Terrapin Crossroads opened March 17th, 2012, with a run of 12 Phil and Friends shows. And the music never stopped. You can't even count on two hands and two feet all of the incredible musicians who've stopped by to jam at Terrapin Crossroads. Our story begins when CEO of the Pantheon Podcast Network, Christian Swain, and his amazing wife, Amy, and I traveled to Marin County to catch Graham Lesh's band, Midnight North. They were performing in the Great Room, and tickets were about $20. The show was sold out. The band had already established themselves by doing a Sunday night residency in the Common Space, but of late, Midnight North had been busy touring themselves, so this was sort of a homecoming for the band. And this night was special, and they were performing in front of a hometown crowd. I live in San Jose, so a trek up to Marin is a journey, but a trip to Terrapin Crossroads is always fun. It's become a hippie destination, and of course, the joint was crawling with deadheads. I love it. I connected with Graham earlier in the day, and he said he'd try to get us in early for soundcheck and just give him a text. Oh, yeah, and we were on the guest list, and that is never old for me. By the time we got to Terrapin Crossroads about 6:30, a line of dedicated fans had already started lining up, many with their tie-dye blankets tossed on the sidewalk near the entryway. The most dedicated fans were ready to secure their spots up front, with the doors opening at 7 o'clock. With Graham being Phil Lesh's son, there, of course, was a buzz in the air and a hope, too, that the Grateful Dead bassist would show up and jam. I mean, after all, it's his place, and he's local. How could he not make an appearance? Midnight North scheduled to play two sets. The big question, which set would Phil sit in on? I'm banking on the second set. Well, rock and roll rule number one, always act like you know what you're doing. And we did. We walked right up past the dozens of people in line and opened the door to the Great Room and walked right in. Even security looked surprised and responded with basically, "Who the hell are you?" But remember, rock and roll rule number one. Well, we're here with the Festival Nation podcast, and we're here to see Graham. He knows we're coming. Okay, I guess, was the response. I hit the record on my player, and game on. We got in for soundcheck. Said hi to Graham, always good. Show was great. Phil jammed with Graham and Midnight North in the second set. And then he stuck around beaming as the proud dad on the side of the stage, which was really a quartered off section of the floor, which chairs were set up on for special people. Phil was about 2 feet from me, but of course, I was not in the special people section, even though I did feel pretty special. Still, I wanted to take a selfie or get an autograph on my super cool guitar purse. But I didn't because of rock and roll rule number two. Don't act like an idiot. And I violated this rule a few times, but not this night. I danced and twirled and two-stepped and embraced Midnight North. The night was grand and super fun. You can check out their website, midnightnorth.com, for tour dates, or join us at Skull and Roses in April at the Ventura County Fairgrounds. Today on Festival Nation, as part of our mini-series featuring the music of the Skull and Roses Festival, we're excited to talk to Graham Lesh, whose band will be performing at the festival in April.
Festival Nation, celebrating the magical world of music festivals.
First, we should talk about the elephant in the room. I'm sure, you know, you are Phil Lesh's kid, so everyone asks you these questions, but I got to get it out of the way. You grew up in the Grateful Dead circus, right? I mean, you were just a little kid. Yep. Little kid at the time. And, you know, it's funny because they always say kids don't really remember much, you know, when they're kids. There's very little memory. It's kind of strange. And you were pretty little. I mean, you went to a lot of shows, but how much of that do you really remember?
Well, I don't know if it's, you know, a lot of specific memories. I have a, you know, plenty of them. I like to say I went to a lot of first sets because, you know, we were younger and I guess I was eight when Jerry Garcia died and the Grateful Dead ended. I have plenty of memories and there's photos and videos that can help me jog my memories and everything like that. So,
right.
I've got plenty and, you know, there's, I have all kinds of fun impressions of Jerry and, you know, obviously Bob, that relationship's continued and you know, the other, band members as well. So, you know, just as friends and family of my folks and things like that.
So you have a recollection. I mean, you have a recollection. But you say first sets. So after, basically, you know, you went home after the first set because second set.
Yeah, to the hotel
crazy.
Or something like that. Yeah. My brother and I, my brother is 3 years younger than me. So, you know, we were sort of in a slightly different generation than some of the other kids. We're a little older than Bobby's kids and, you know, younger than, you know, Justin Kreutzmann and most of the Garcia kids. So, it was mostly just us as a family sort of together on those tours. And so, yeah, my mom or a family friend who would be watching us would take us back to the hotel usually after a first set.
And that's a good time to do it. Yeah. You know,
yeah. Yeah. The timing seemed to work out. I'm impressed with how many shows we were able to go to in general, even if it wasn't the full show.
Right. Well, yeah, half a show. I mean, when you're little kids, but you think you guys, you know, the band could have coordinated that just a little better. Like, let's all have kids at the same time. so they can kind of play together and have play dates and things. But how fun is that though? Seriously. I mean, what a great upbringing for you. A lot of kids grow up and they're like, oh, when I grow up, I'm going to run away and join the circus. And the circus came to you.
Yeah. And you know, we had, there were still plenty of kids our age sort of around, you know, Tara Hart's not that much older than us. And, the Midland kids and the Hunter kids were not that, you know, they'd be around and plenty of crew families and everything like that. So, you know, it is one big, huge extended family circus, that, you know, we're lucky to all sort of keep up with each other and all that, at the same time as, even though, you know, we're all different ages, when the real thing was happening.
Right. You have, I mean, you have a special bond and, you know, that's so, I mean, I feel lucky that I, you know, discovered the Dead in the '80s right before, and when it was like the arena shows. And so I got to go to those shows, which were, you know, it was just so much smaller then. And And they were practicing Touch of Grey and Throwing Stones during that
time. Totally, yeah. No, I mean, I was born right before In the Dark came out, so all I know is the bigger ones. until, you know, the Phil Lesh and Friends days, which is, you know, more of my formative musical memories. So, yeah,
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. When it exploded, it was funny because, you know, I'm a radio girl myself, but it's funny when the, you know, In the Dark, you know, that album came out and all these new songs, and we had been listening to them for years on tour.
Yeah, yeah.
It just was, I gotta, we still get a little chuckle out of that because it's like, they're really not that new.
Yeah,
right. Been playing them a while. But that is, it's just cool. So, I mean, that's just such a fun, it's a fun experience. And your parents were so damn responsible. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, they were amazing. And gave us, you know, the experience of a lifetime, even as kids. And, you know, still we, came out okay. So,
okay, you did it. You know, you ended up going, you know, the musical direction. I mean, you went to Stanford and the whole thing. Was there a moment you were going to do something else?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I got a minor at Stanford in music, and then I went back for an extra year and did a master's in music, but it was really just an excuse to take the classes that let me use the recording studio for my college bands and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, you know, as most other, kids who graduated college in the Bay Area, or from the Bay Area in, you know, that immediate post economy crash in 2008, everyone went into tech. So I worked at a variety of tech companies, and, I did that until 2016 actually. But what changed my sort of course, professionally was just my folks opening Terrapin Crossroads and, having a place and a community of musicians to be around, and a place for all of us to play and, you know, really hone our skills, for Midnight North. That was how we sort of grew up as a band, 'cause we started right at the same time in early 2012. And so that gave us a place to play in front of people and really figure out what we were as a band and grow from there. And I know that happened for a lot of other musicians in the Bay Area, at a lot of different levels. So, yeah, that's sort of what changed my path into being, you know, more of a music lifer.
That I didn't realize that. I remember, you know, when, you know, your dad, Phil Lesh, of course, we're talking to Graham Lesh, Terrapin Crossroads came about. I remember, wasn't it some old fish restaurant or,
yeah,
or something? It was eccentric.
Yeah, I mean, my folks got the idea for the place from Levon Helm's studios, from Levon's barn. Okay. That we did a couple, that's in Woodstock still, since Levon passed away. His daughter Amy Helm sort of helped, she runs that. But that, you know, we did a couple rambles there with Levon, and that's his home, or that was his home. And it's more of a studio and a venue. My folks were looking for something, you know, they got the idea for that. My dad was in further, but he must have been in his, you know, just in his 70s, and he didn't really want to tour the way that the rest of the band members wanted to tour. You know, Bob or the Phil and Friends folks. So he figured, let's do what Levon did and have everyone come to us.
That's a great idea.
So, but the venue they found, Terrapin Crossroads, there's a restaurant attached to it and a very large kitchen. It was a seafood restaurant. Those folks who know Marin County and its history, it was the Seafood Peddler.
It had been
around for a very long time. But yeah, now it's for the last almost 8 years, it's been Terrapin Crossroads, and it's a great restaurant too. We added a bar stage in the restaurant, and sort of playing music in the bar every night is sort of what created the community around Terrapin Crossroads, within the music, the musician community. So, there's a place to play for free in front of a pretty solid audience just about every night. And so all of us sort of cutting our teeth in that situation is really what grew the whole thing.
That's so exciting. I've been, of course, up there to Terrapin Crossroads, and people just drop in and jam, and you guys do a Sunday night residency. Are you still doing that?
No, we have some members moving around, around the country, so not everyone's in town all the time. So I'll play on Sundays as Graham Lush and friends, just with some friends. A lot of times with Connor O'Sullivan, our bass player.
But Elliot.
Elliot is bouncing around the country. Okay. She's out here as much as she can. But you know, we tour so much too that it's been hard to. You know, everyone kind of wants when we're off the road. It's you know, just in the last 6 months or so, it's been hard to get everyone together. Mm-hmm. Everyone kind of wants to just hang and do family stuff and, you know, figure out their lives when they're not on the road.
Right, because the road's pretty
myself
rigorous,
included.
You know? Yeah,
it's very rigorous, and we've been going at it pretty hard with Midnight North and with my dad, so with the Terrapin Family Band. So, yeah, it's been hard to keep the Sunday nights going, but whenever we're all in town, we try and keep that bar show thing going. Though obviously our next one's going to be a ticketed thing on a Saturday night instead.
Well, that's on something. Put it on your calendar. It's definitely worth it.
So, January 18th.
Okay. So you're saying a new album. So you just came out with Under the Lights, right? So you have another one coming out. You guys are really busy. Or is this the same one?
Well, no, Under the Lights was, I guess, 2017.
Okay.
So, you know, we're getting... That
getting
one's,
old.
Yeah, it's not as new as it was.
Okay,
we still play,
true.
Obviously, most of those songs. I'm super proud of that album, of Under the Lights. We just came out with a new single called Longview that our drummer Nathan Graham and I wrote. Really happy with how that song turned out, too. But that was just from a shorter session we did. This is going to be more, you know, we've got more of a collection of songs about ready to go, and we're gonna, some of which we've played live, like you were talking about with the Dead for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't be surprises for some folks who've been, you know, coming to shows for a couple years with Midnight North, but right. Some of them are brand new, and I'm really excited to work out all those tunes in the studio and see where they go.
Well, why don't we listen? Because I would like to feature Longview. Let's listen to a little bit of this on the podcast, and let everyone can, you know, if they don't know you guys, they can hear some of your new stuff.
Yeah.
Midnight North, we're talking with Graham Lesh on Festival Nation.
Skies, a celestial sphere, us mortals with constant fear of losing time. Maybe I'll get older and learn this is how it's done. I can stay a little longer in the sun, like building a ship in a bottle. Like rowing a boat on the open sea, I look past you looking at me, I'll take a long view. Taking another look at you.
Festival Nation, celebrating the magical world of music festivals.
We're talking to Graham Lesch, the singer and guitarist for Midnight North on Festival Nation. Although his band has Americana roots, he grew up in the San Francisco music scene, and he's seen his dad's band, The Grateful Dead, more than you can imagine. He grew up loving another Bay Area band, Metallica.
You got a lot of energy as a teenager, and I definitely went in the harder, heavier, you know, Metallica is a little bit like, you know, Zeppelin or Black Sabbath, but taken up a notch.
More from Graham Lesch after this.
Festival Nation, celebrating the magical world of music festivals.
Hey now, it's Marla Davies. We're talking to Graham Lesch, singer and guitarist from Midnight North on Festival Nation, where we celebrate the magical world of music festivals. Graham, yeah. It's really made me laugh. I was listening to Longview, and there's like that little jam there in the middle, and
yeah,
it's very jam bandy, Grateful Dead-ish. I got you could just hear it, right? It's in your DNA.
Yeah. I guess so. Which version are you listening to? We didn't put all that much in.
I thought it was this. Maybe it
the
was
stuff at the end.
Yeah. You know, it probably was. I said little jam. It wasn't like major.
Right.
Because then people commented. They said, this is really good. But when you guys hear this live, there's so much more, you know, amazing.
For sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, when we're in the studio, especially, we're songwriters first, you know. Mm-hmm. We put our little escape valves in the song, but that we can take out live if we want to. But you know, we're trying to tell a concise thing in the song, and not put in the instrumental breaks unless it, you know, it really needs it. Just like we're not going to put lyrics in unless we think it really needs it, or a melodic thing. It's
well planned.
It's whatever we think the song needs.
Well, you guys have beautiful harmonies beside the great playing and the jamming. And, you know, it's a really, you guys are a tight band. You can tell because you play together and you work it out. I mean, it's such a great model. I mean, you know, you're grassroots. You start at the, you know, you start at the bottom, you work through it and you get really tight. It just happens by practice.
Yeah, we definitely, I mean, we've played hundreds of shows over the last 8 years since we started as a band. But, you know, those harmonies that you talked about, that's sort of, you know, that's what Elliot and I, when we first met and started jamming, that was what we really sort of figured out that we could do, at a level that we felt comfortable, you know, being a band with that as the focus.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it started with, you know, those Graham Parson and Emmylou Harris country songs. Uh-huh. But you know, then we get into CSNY and those Dead records with, you know, the American Beauty and Working Man's Dead that have more harmonies and are more acoustic flavored and, sort of take, you know, the band's first couple records and, really take inspiration from all those things. But then try and do our own thing. Cause we're writing our own songs and, you know, both of us and the rest of the band too. Like I said, Longview is co-written with Nathan Graham, our drummer. And, you know, we're all just trying to tell cool stories and make them melodic. And we hope everyone, you know, enjoys the end result.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you come under the big umbrella of the Grateful Dead with your dad being Phil Lesh and this and that. And you do play a couple Dead songs. Is there a Dead song that you feel like, hey, we love playing this one?
I mean, there's a bunch. When Nathan, Elliot, and I are all in the Terrapin Family Band with my dad. So we definitely get our fill of playing Grateful Dead songs with that band. So with Midnight North, we throw the Grateful Dead music and those covers in with all the other covers we do, which range from, you know, Brandi Carlile and Jason Isbell and Sturgill Simpson and all these, you know, more modern folks doing cool Americana stuff with the Dead and the Band and the Stones and and CSMY, and you know, those all kind of go into one bucket of covers that we really, you know, of bands that we are influenced by and that we love. You know, Elliot's got a great Chicago blues background, especially in her singing, so we'll bust out some of those. But you know, specifically with Dead Songs, we like to change something up and not do it like they do. You know, if it's a song, if it, you know, change the key and have Elliot sing a song that, one of the, you know, the men in the band would have sang, lead on before. I always love doing that and just coming at a song from a different direction. I loved Levon Helm's late in his life. He covered Tennessee Jed, on one of his records, and it's so great. I love the feel he gets, on his drumming, and the way he sings it is so timeless. And then there's like this crazy cool horn break instead of the longer jam, in the middle of Tennessee Jed. They just do a quick little horn break that changes keys. And I'm pretty sure Larry Campbell sort of came up with that, who's been in Phil Lesh and Friends too, and was also Levon Helms' band leader late in life. And, so we kind of stole some of that. And when we cover, Tennessee Jed, and we kind of sing it like the Grateful Dead, but we play this instrumental part like Levon did, and kind of just take all these little parts from everywhere and try. Hopefully the synthesis, no matter who we're covering, turns into our own thing.
Festival Nation.
I know I've read many things about you saying, you know, you had a love for metal, you know, Metallica.
Oh yeah.
I love Metallica. I love them.
Me too. Yeah.
I worked at a radio station, and it was so cool, and that we brought them in a flatbed truck to good old Tower Records, and they played in the parking lot.
That's amazing.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bay Area too.
Yeah. I got into a bunch of like harder music. Especially, you know, when you're a teenager, you go from whatever you're listening to when you're in your young teens. And then I feel like everyone goes through a Led Zeppelin phase around like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And then you get into
16 right now, and he loves Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
There you go. He's leaning kind of Beatles now. He's really digging them.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then, you know, like so you go in a bunch of different directions, and for a while there, you got a lot of energy as a teenager. And I definitely went in the harder, heavier, you know, Metallica is a little bit like, you know, Zeppelin or Black Sabbath, but taken up a notch. And so I definitely got into that. I didn't really get into much other metal, that didn't have like Metallica has some kind of melodic quality.
It does. They do. Absolutely.
Even in their earlier, you know, heavier, thrashier days. And so I liked that part of it, the combination of the melodies with the heaviness and the machine gun drums and all that.
Yeah.
The sonic pedal to the metalness of the whole thing definitely spoke to me. But I like that they sang and that there were melodies and not just screaming.
Like that gargoyle voice. I know. Because like nothing else matters. It's really technically a ballad.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's that's not really metal at all.
It's beautiful. I mean, and they do, you know, have a nice guitar.
But even,
guitar
you know, Master of Puppets has great melodies.
Yeah,
and,
true.
You know.
Yeah, they'll go out there and they'll come back for sure.
So, yeah, or like Battery has that beautiful classical guitar opening and then it just starts pummeling you.
I saw James Hetfield once backstage at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert. So,
oh yeah, I'm sure he goes through his country vibes sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, he did that song with Government Mule, and yeah.
It's good. It's good to keep it, you know, it open. In fact, when I became, I was going to ask you about this in a minute or two, but when I feel like I became a deadhead, when I could say I was a deadhead, that's when I felt like I opened my musical palette. And I think that's important, right? I was stuck in a certain way. I'm a kid from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, PA, and I had a certain impression about rock and roll as this or that, you know, at my things, my, and I had to, it took me a while to break through and open my mind to things. And, you know, for you and music, you know, as you've gotten older, music has changed. How has music changed in your life now that you've gotten a little older?
Well, I listen more to learn songs than I do just for pleasure, which has its good and bad parts. I discover a lot more music just through the Terrapin scene and people being like, well, why don't we play this song? It's by someone I've never heard of. And so then I get introduced to somebody that way. So, you know, in terms of my listening to music, I feel like I have a breadth, but not maybe as much of a depth of knowledge that I did when I was, you know, first learning and first getting into things. And it's just like, you have to go so hardcore into every nuance of the Metallica catalog or, you know, who the Led Zeppelin catalog. And you could name every lyric from every, you know, every song on every album and talk about the inside cover of a vinyl record that you've never seen before because it's 1999 or whatever, and there's no vinyl around. But, you know, yeah, it's in terms of my listening to music, that's sort of been the thing I've noticed that's been different. But I mean, the rest of it, it's
we got the Americana thing. That's very big right now. I mean, I love it myself.
Personally. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of always into that. It was, you know, starting in college around then, I would sort of listen to all the folks that my dad would have in Phil and Friends, and the one person that really stuck to me, which, you know, there's some issues now, of course, but I got really into Ryan Adams, and that turned me into a big fan of, I mean, what they called alt country at the time, but really it's just the same Americana scene, you know, song focused, acoustic instruments focused, or, you know, at least real instrument focused.
Yes. Real instrument. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I love what Sturgill Simpson's doing with synthesizers and heavy guitars and stuff like that, but at least it's coming from the same place. And, you know, it really does. You find that this music all just connects to the same roots. And, you know, that's what's kind of special about the Grateful Dead, is that they were just this synthesis of every kind of American music, and pre-American music, just like crammed into one band. They had such a breadth of interest, and they'd, you know, Jerry was a, you know, great bluegrass banjo player. And,
yeah,
you know, and
Bobby,
you know,
loves Bobby loves cowboy songs.
Yeah, exactly. And I love all those songs too. And it's, you know, it's, I think this Americana scene, the revival that we're seeing, is just like a lot of folks going back to the roots of what the music that they've been listening to all the time has been. And that's sort of where the Grateful Dead is, and all of the Grateful Dead spinoffs have always been. It's not just rock and roll. It's not just blues. It's not just bluegrass, or whatever. It's trying to take aspects of all of those and make something your own. And that's definitely where Midnight North is trying to do things. And hopefully, you know, when we're playing with my dad and the Terrapin Family Band, how we're trying to do things too. We're not trying to sound exactly like whoever, you know, had the same role.
Right.
Yep. But, trying to take our experiences and interpret the songs that way, and just be true to ourselves with it.
Oh, you got to be true to yourself. Otherwise, you're lost.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, it's funny because I work, you know, in radio. I work actually at KPIG, which is, it's in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
And it's Americana format. So
yep.
We should be playing you. In fact, I should play you because we're allowed to play. I'm allowed to play
you
what
should.
I want. So it's pretty amazing.
But you should. I'm pretty sure we sent Under the Lights to a lot of Americana stations.
Well, I will follow through on that for sure. We also played John Mayer at, you know, when I worked for sort of an AC station. And I remember seeing him and I was like, dude, that dude really can play guitar, but he needs a band. Yeah. He needs a band.
I remember going to see the John Mayer Trio and he was doing the Stevie Ray Vaughan thing. And I thought that was great. I mean, I love Pino Palladino, his bass player for that, who also does like amazing work in like D'Angelo's band. And obviously he was in The Who for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Steve Jordan obviously is like one of the monsters of drumming, you know, ever. So that band was kind of amazing. It was just like an excuse for them to just really go for it in a small trio setting. But yeah, I mean, John's great. It's funny. You see all these folks who are, I would never have guessed in, you know, the early 2000s that any of these people were Grateful Dead fans. Then around the 50th anniversary, they all come out of the woodwork. It's great.
I know. It was funny because when John, you know, and the Dead, they had a little mergey thing. I remember someone, when we were waiting to get in the show, someone said, you know, I hope he's not going to play Your Body as a Wonderland. That would be weird, but kind of cool if that would surprise everyone.
Indeed. Yeah, it would.
So you're on the road a lot with your dad. I mean, with your own band, of course. So you see a lot of Deadheads. What do you consider mm-hmm. yourself a Deadhead, or is that just too weird?
Oh, of course. Okay. Of course. All right. I mean, I obviously have a different, I probably have a different definition of how I see being a Deadhead than some people.
What's your definition? Yeah. What do you think? What does it mean?
Just being a fan of the band. Yeah. I mean, I love the music, so. Yeah, I fandom is weird in 2019 for literally anything. I mean, like you could talk about like Star Wars on the internet, and everyone's just going to stratify themselves into like how much of a fan are you of this?
Yeah, like,
you
know, it doesn't matter. Fan. Yeah, it's
yeah,
a competition, or like, suddenly.
Yeah, and what you want out of the entertainment you consume is a. Or what you think you deserve as a fan out of the entertainment you consume is a very interesting question, and also something that seems to be what the conversation's all about with literally anything, TV or music or movies or whatever. But
shouldn't it really be like?
I'm a fan, and I'm not going to be the one who's like, this version of this song is the best, you know, and, you know, be able to name all kinds of things like that, but I can play basically every Grateful Dead song that ever existed. Happened on guitar. Yeah. And
that's pretty good.
And obviously I've been to more shows than most people. Even though a lot of them were first sets. But I guess there's a holding everyone on a pedestal aspect of things that I don't really subscribe to.
Well, no, because that's weird because your dad's in the band.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, exactly. But I think my dad being in a very popular and famous band gives me that perspective. So yeah, I'm absolutely a Deadhead, but I'm also a fan of a lot of other music. So
there you go. What's in my, I have to say it's my favorite, the Dead are my favorite band, but my girlfriend, she said to me, well, I'm not a Deadhead. And I said, you've gone to a million shows with me and you love the band. Why not? She goes, well, I've never traveled. I said, that's a stupid thing. That doesn't mean anything. That's a little bit of what I'm talking about.
Like everyone sets a different definition of things. And who's a true Deadhead and who's not just seems like a, yeah, everyone loves the music. We can all enjoy the music. Don't have to define ourselves.
Right. It's a perfect
in opposition to anyone else.
Right. It's a unification, you know, and we're together. We're all together. And that's just the beauty of the whole thing. So this whole podcast is about festivals. So you guys, besides playing Terrapin Crossroads, you're going to play the Ventura Festival Skull and Roses coming in April. That's going to be fun. You've played a lot of festivals. We should at least talk a little bit. That, by the way, is April the 2nd through the 5th. Ventura County Fairgrounds is such a fun place to be, to see a show. So what do you think? Why do you think festivals are just so magical? What is it that brings people to come and kind of sacrifice a little to get there?
I mean, I imagine it's, you know, the good festivals just have a lineup or a theme that people want to, you know, spend a weekend experiencing, basically. I mean, I know for us as musicians, it's great. We all see all of our friends that we don't see all the time at a lot of these festivals. You know, everyone's traveling so much, it's hard to gather in any one place, but a festival is a great excuse for all of us to do that.
It's a great excuse to have fun.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, yeah. As a festival goer, I don't think I can explain, but I'm too busy playing them to really
enjoy the
real festival thing that I know a lot of people are very attracted to.
Have you gone to a festival just as a fan, or you're always busy playing?
It's been a long time. I think the most recent one I probably went to was Hardly Strictly Bluegrass in San Francisco, but that's right down the street basically, from me. So, I can go for a day. Oh yeah. Yeah, totally.
I know you can go for a short time. I love Shooter Jennings. So I had to go see him, and my girlfriend's totally. Like, this is like heavy metal country.
Yeah. I love Shooter.
I know.
I have some friends that used to be in his band.
Okay. Yeah. Good. He's great.
Yeah. Tony Leone, who has been in Phil and Friends and, CRB. And I think John Graboff was also in that band.
So you're usually playing the festivals, but it's just for you. It's like a chance to hang out, have fun with your, you know, your people, your fellow musicians.
Yeah. And it's not a super high pressure gig for any of us. So I think that makes the music better. You know, you don't have to worry about selling tickets or drawing fans so much, because that's a communal thing between all the musicians, really. And so I think that makes the show better. Honestly, it puts everyone in a
happy
better
mood.
State of mind. Yeah, everyone in a happy mood. And, you know, for the audience, I imagine, especially these weekend long festivals, if someone goes for the whole three, four days, just having that much music there in front of you, you know, for one ticket, you know,
get your money's worth.
Yeah, you really do. More than just going to one show for a couple hours, you know, this is a whole weekend of an experience. And, I think the best festivals, you know, bring in the communal part that I think the musicians feel at just about any festival. But you know, once it comes into once the community aspect of things really percolates into the audience as well, I think that's when you get the really good experiences for everybody. Yeah.
Well, like Skull and Roses, that's coming up at Ventura, it celebrates the community of the Grateful Dead. And that's what I was really attracted to myself, just that people are so nice to each other, you know? And I'm sorry, is that old fashioned, but I kind of like nice, you know, I'm like, people are nice to each other. It's a good idea.
Yeah. I think that's the most magical part about being a deadhead, whether you want to call yourself one or not. There's so much more than just the music that goes around that is a part of being in the community of the Grateful Dead. Yeah. Whether you're a fan or just, of the music, or, you know, somebody who's in the family, or what, but the community travels with all these different variations on the band. The community loves the music. The community loves all the bands that play the music. It's so widespread, and it is nice.
It is nice.
It's pretty great, you know?
I just remember my girlfriend and I standing there talking to these two guys. We're waiting to get a beer or something, and the guys looked at us out of nowhere. They go, come on, guys, what do you say? Group hug? I just die. I still think about that. And I actually have carried that on into my own life. I'll just randomly say group hug to people, and
amazing.
Deadheads are not afraid of group hug. I mean, we're always about hugging. Where I've just met a group of people, some people I work with, and they're like, no hugging. I was like, what? You're not deadheads. You are not deadheads, because you would be hugging. We always hug.
That's
so
great.
We're with Graham Lesh. His band is Midnight North. Well, I want to feature another one of your songs. Can you tell us a song that you like to introduce to my podcast family here at Festival Nation that you'd like us to play?
Yeah, why don't we play one of Elliot's? Because Midnight North, I basically front half the song, she fronts the other half. So why don't we do Green County from Under the Lights?
Question about your dad. Yep. Did he give you some advice about, when you said I want to pursue a career in music, did he say, hey, that's a great idea, or like, dude, don't do it? Did he give you some advice that you took with you?
No, he's not really the like sit you down and give you advice kind of a guy. It's just sort of from observing him and him being my dad and being around him all the time and being in bands with him that, you just sort of learn things. So I mostly just get to observe him and both of my parents and just sort of Yeah.
They're your example.
See what they learned from their example. They're great folks, and there's not really any specific lessons, but that doesn't mean I don't learn anything. So,
and you get to hang out together. I mean, maybe that's the whole, like, you're learning by doing, and you're making memories. So
exactly,
that's the best lesson right there. Just, you know, be present in the moment. Thank you so much, Graham, and thanks for being on Festival Nation. I appreciate it. And
thank you for having me.
Okay, take
you
care.
Too.
Festival Nation, celebrating the magical world of music festivals.
That's Graham Lesh, singer and guitar player for Midnight North on Festival Nation, celebrating the magical world of music festivals. Thanks so much, Graham. And thanks for listening to Festival Nation here on the Pantheon Podcast Network and our special mini-series on Skull and Roses, the multi-day festival celebrating the music and community of the Grateful Dead. Skull and Roses returns April the 2nd through the 5th for its fourth anniversary at the legendary Ventura County Fairgrounds on the Central California coast. In upcoming episodes, we're going to feature behind-the-scenes interviews with artists performing at Skull and Roses, including O'Teal Burbridge, guitarist Steve Kimmock, and longtime Grateful Dead publicist Dennis McNally. And during the festival, we're going to be on site, live with our fest cast, bringing you all the news from backstage with plenty of special guests. This year's lineup features Grateful Dead drummer Bill Kreutzmann and his band Billy and the Kids, O'Teal and Friends, Voodoo Dead, Melvin Seals and JGB, Jackie Green, Keller Williams's Grateful Grass, Circles Around the Sun, Ghostlight, Grateful Shred, David Nelson Band, and tons more. Get your tickets at skullandroses.com. And stay tuned to Festival Nation for your chance to win your pair of passes to Skull and Roses 2, which has become a mecca for deadheads young and old. To win, you can email us at festivalnationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at Nation Festival or Facebook and Instagram at Festival Nation Podcast. And tell us why you love the podcast and which band you're most looking forward to seeing at Skull and Roses. We'll find you and you'll be entered to win. Any music used in this Festival Nation podcast is owned by the artist and is used for educational and illustration purposes only. Thanks for checking out, liking, sharing, and following Festival Nation on the Pantheon Podcast Network and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Talk to you next time. Peace.
Peace, love, and music. Thanks for being part of the tribe. For Marla Davies and everyone here at Festival Nation, until next time, tune in, turn on.